I call the shots, I never call it quits. Trust my intuition, bet it's right and bitch, it often is. Seen too many others come and go, they had the wrong intent. Do it out of love and never for it, then I watch it get bigger than expected, don't second guess it, I let it set it. It's God's plan, we out here only accepting blessings. I'm stuck with it, this mindset is terminal. In and out different terminals, leveling up is personal. And I already made it, y'all can miss me. I smack my girl's ass, tell her pinch me. It's hard to believe I made something from nothing. No hindsight discussions, I've been writing, I love it.
Welcome to the 3 Gig Sports Podcast, where we are never wrong, just sometimes misinformed. We got Jim Arroyo and myself, Danny G, in the house, and we're going to kick this bad boy off with some fantasy. But what else is up before that, man?
Hey, we're right around the corner of this. Yes, I think the last couple of years it's crept up on us. We need to start setting an alarm for like 2 weeks prior. get our mind wrapped around it at bare minimum. But yeah, I wanted to chat about these running backs. That's what I wanted to chat about. Because I have my own question marks. We kind of chatted about it in the sense of like what they're going to do, the ones that are holding out, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk purely the football side where they're actually on the field, okay? No conspiracy theories with this part. I have one right off the gate that I'm going to ask you. Who is the most valued standalone backup running back in the league? Who do you want? And I'm not talking about you're just using it for to lock up as your starter, as your backup to your starter. I'm literally like standalone. You could actually probably play him.
I go with AJ Dillon, Green Bay Packers, and I think it was like this before, but I think it's more so being that Jordan Love is out there. He's basically a rookie quarterback. He's been in the league sitting on the bench, but at the same time, he hasn't played professional football. So you have Aaron Jones, who's a great option, good receiver out of the backfield, but they've also shown they can give it to A.J. Dillon. He's a big back. He's fast, can run in between the tackles. He can do pretty much everything you want for him, and I think it only is solidified this year because you basically have a rookie back there. So I think that guy, he's going to get, you know, he's a massive dude. So anything inside the 10, he's also going to get carries, even when Aaron Jones is playing lights out. So that for me, I think A.J. Dillon is probably my number one backup.
Man, it's so hard. I think I'm going to go a little bit off the wall. And I think I'm going to say Tank from the Jaguars. I think the young man is going to have a shitload of opportunity this year, and he has a good shot where he could be a real RB1. ETN tends to get hurt. He's little. He's not necessarily a big back who's going to move the pile and shit like that. I think there's a really good shot that he gets hurt again, which is kind of, we've seen it before already. And Tank comes in, and he's a different style back. I think he fits better and is a little more durable. I think that would be something a little bit off the wall, not one of the normal guys that you'd think of, but that's where I'd go here.
For standalone, like you could plug him into that. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm digging it. I'm going to go Chalky.
Who?
I'm going to go Chalk. So breaking news, earlier today, Dalvin Cook signed with the Jets. So my answer has to be Breece Hall. I think they're bringing in, and because it wasn't that expensive of a contract. What'd you say, $8.6 million?
Dalvin Cook, yeah.
Yep, 8.6. Yep. Still decent for a running back, but definitely not what he was making. Let's put it that way, right? Breece Hall, as long as he comes back healthy, which he was projected to come back week one anyways, prior to all this, I believe they're going to keep them in the mix and keep them both healthy. I think what I visualize in my head is there'll be enough for both of them because they also don't want Aaron Rodgers taking a bunch of smoke back there either, right? I'm thinking somewhere between the combination of 17, combo of receptions and carries, 17 for both. And I think that's It doesn't have to be a huge number. One may get your touchdown, the other one may get your yards one game. But I'd feel comfortable with Breece Hall as definitely my flex. But, yeah, I'm going to go a little chalky with that one. I understand that's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, we don't know if Dalvin will really be number one, though. Just based off of his extensive history of getting hurt, he's my third down back. He's my crucial play guy, and run Breece Hall. And that 17 touches apiece, that's not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is back there. They're not going to run the ball 30-plus times. No way. I can't see it. Not with all those weapons. And just because it's Aaron Rodgers. If it was another quarterback, I could see it. I just think Aaron Rodgers, that guy, that he's going to want to throw it.
They don't have a good offensive line either.
They don't have – what do they have? They have do they have two receivers? I'm only thinking Wilson.
I think they're loaded up, man.
I can't remember the second wide receiver off the top of my head.
I mean, they got some Packers that they pulled over there.
Yeah, they got.
Right?
Keeps pulling it to the top of the freaking list.
Lazard.
Yeah, Lazard's there.
Come on.
Cobb is over there.
But guys he's going to throw to. Garrett Wilson, right. Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, Randall Cobb.
He's got stuff out there, but he still likes to throw to his running backs, too.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saying.
And it is all dependent heavily on that offensive line, too.
Yeah.
On both ends. That means blocking for the run.
I think they're decent, but they've gotten hurt. Like that Mekhi Becton stud, but he couldn't stay on the field. They had problems with their guard getting hurt, too, and they were rotating guards. But, like, high draft pick, I think he was the first round, like in the 20s.
Right.
From USC. Just getting hurt, though, same thing. So they have potential. Kind of like Chargers, almost.
I'm telling you one thing. If it were to fall to me, I'm gonna throw one thing out there, and it isn't like standalone value. What I'm about to tell you isn't necessarily standalone value, but if there's one running back I have to lock up, if I get to draft him in general, it would have to be with the most value. Like I want, like a lot of times I won't lock. He likes to back up his running back. He'll grab his own guy behind that and do that. I don't do that very often.
I think it's because I had Saquon when he got hurt. I had Christian McCaffrey when he got hurt, right? So
you got in touch.
And I didn't. I got in touch a few times. So
you just touched on it right there. I think the biggest one that I would want is Elijah Mitchell. That is the running back I would want. And any version of combo. And I, like I said, I don't lock up my running backs. I don't back it up and lock it up. But Elijah Mitchell, when he has his opportunity, just produces almost as much as Christian McCaffrey does. And you know that Christian is going to probably get banged up and hurt. When was the last time he played a full healthy season? I think he's only had one his whole career. Right? I think he was lights out that year. But
yeah. I think the one I really got to lock up if I'm looking at it is Jamal Williams. I mean, he's proven he can do it anywhere and everywhere, even when he's gotten the full load. Kamara does get injured a lot. Plus, he's got a couple games suspension as well. So, that's another guy that.
That's a very nice one. I didn't think about that one.
To lock him up as well.
You got one off the top of your head, Danny?
Yeah, I think it's funny. You went with the Detroit running back. I was thinking DeAndre Swift with the Eagles. I think that could be a game changer for your league. Like, if they can. All these guys are kind of in the same boat with a little bit of a stable at least, right? If they can keep these guys healthy and not necessarily try to make them a workhorse back. All three of these guys could have monster years just staying healthy, getting in when they're fresh, doing their thing. Because when they touch the field, they're really good, all of them.
I'm just scared of Swift because the Lions were good last year, and he didn't do shit. Didn't do anything.
He was hot in the first half, right?
Yeah, at the
beginning. Before he got banged up. He said, what was
but
it?
But even coming back, I mean, even in his – I know because I had him. Even I'd play him. He'd be healthy. I think he had healthy scratches. I don't know.
He had coming off career highs in yards after contact and missed tackles forced. But, yeah, he was only.
Yeah, that back half season was just so bad.
Well, that puts me into an interesting question for you then. You're obviously not sold on DeAndre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want any part of the Eagles' high-flying offense in there in the – I'm talking about in the backfield? We got DeAndre Swift. We have Rashad Penny, who also has the same injury history too, but can ball out when he's out there. They have old trusty Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott. Which one of those would you pull first? And I'm not saying I'm not saying value, Chris. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm like, hey, maybe you're not sold on DeAndre. But you know what? I'd feel like taking a flyer on Rashad later or something like that. That's what I'm getting at. Would you feel more comfortable with that than taking DeAndre earlier on?
Yeah, definitely taking one of them. I think that coach has shown that he'll run all of them. You know, last year he was running everybody as well. Obviously, the top three, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny's interesting play as well.
So good when he's healthy.
That's the thing. Just all of them are.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, it's. Yeah, that one's a tough one of do I want a piece of that backfield or not? You know, that's just really tough. What I do want, if you're looking for a clear-cut number one, I mean, you're going Nick Chubb. You look at the backups.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's going to be hands down number one.
Derrick Henry, guy. Maybe? Are you too worried about his?
I am a little bit worried about the miles and catching up. And usually after they have one, it starts coming downhill.
Yeah.
Right? You get that one injury. Happened to Zeke, right? He was decent. Had that lower leg injury, those knee problems. Guess what? Cut from the Cowboys. Obviously just signed with the Patriots, but it just
so the miles. Jonathan Taylor, too. Same thing. He's been dinged up ever since he got hurt that first time.
Mm-hmm. And they ran the tires off that dude to Wisconsin.
Yep.
He was the best back coming out of that draft, but yeah. But what, you 400 knew that
carries,
he, yeah,
300
you,
carries.
It was something every crazy. Year. They ran him to death basically there. So, but yeah, if you're looking for somebody clear cut number one, I mean Nick Chubb, you can't go wrong there.
Would that intrigue you in taking him number one? I'm not saying you necessarily, but
I have.
If you're the number one pick and all these uncertainties are up in the air, and especially if you play a standard, we play a half point, maybe trying to push towards a full point PPR, but. In a standard, would you be intrigued by? Would you? You probably would take Chubb.
Yeah, I have definitely thought about it. I sit at number one in our league, and yeah, I've looked at some of these, and I'm like, dude, that he's going to be up there for my number one pick just because he's going to get all the volume.
Right, clear cut.
And they're going to be a better team this year too, right? So
you hope so after, you know, suspension's gone out of the way, kind of, you know, after sitting a whole year, you got all the rough stuff out. You're hoping,
yep,
Deshaun, that is. And then they just come back and, you know, pick up, like, the year that he led the league in passing. So, yeah, that's definitely been on my radar, you know, as I look at the number one pick. I'm like, okay, going through pros and cons and stuff. At least I know volume's going to be there 100%.
We still have a couple weeks to our draft, right?
It's about a month out, I think.
Yeah, right about, yep, I think somewhere right in there. You are the number one pick, like you said. Have you narrowed it down? Have you made your decision? Or are you waiting until?
Nah, I'm waiting a little bit.
You have like a few guys in your head?
Anything can happen. We saw. I'm trying not to get set on anybody right now.
You don't want to fall in love with nobody?
You know, yeah, basically.
Keep my options open.
I keep my options open. You know, I'm looking at wide receivers as well. I'm seeing some drafts go through. You know, starting to try to roll through some mocks of what happens when I take a wide receiver number one. And different things like that. I'm still just keeping options open because you don't want to fall in love with a guy and then he tears an ACL or he's out 6 weeks. Because what? If he's out 6 weeks, I probably can't wait that long, right, for production off my one pick, you know, because I don't pick again until 24. So can I risk losing that for 6 weeks and then my 24th pick or whatever, 20th, I think, 21st, because we're down to two teams this year. Is it going to be good enough to supplement that, you know, what I'm expecting to get from that first pick?
You know what I want from him, right?
Yeah.
I want him to take Christian McCaffrey so bad. So it takes any option. Like, anytime a guy falls and he gets in front of me, and I haven't looked how close our draft thing is or, like, where I am in it, but my point is I don't even want the option to be there. I had that happen a few times. What, 4 years ago, or maybe it's 4 years ago, Julio Jones. I did not want Julio. Nobody would take him, but you can't not take him when you start getting into the third round.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I hate that shit. I want Christian McCaffrey. I think he'd look great as the number one pick.
Yeah. Do you? I think Justin Jefferson would look amazing.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. You don't even appreciate him. This is horse shit.
What? Yeah. I always appreciate him. That's I just don't appreciate thing. Kurt.
That's the scary thing about having like a top, even three pick, right, is you have to look at the upside of these guys,
I think
too.
You have to nail it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, C-Mac probably has the highest ceiling, or at least that we've seen for running backs, right? There's some other potential out there.
Yep.
But you know what he can do. Then you have the stable guys. Like Chubb is, you know, almost for sure what he's going to be. He's going to be a top five running back, right, at the end of the year. And then there's some young guys where you're like, fuck, if I'm going to go running back, do I go with one of the younger guys? Dude, it's tough. Or receiver. There's some guaranteed locks of receiver, but is that going to hurt you at running back? Yeah.
Exactly. It's just I think one picks one through three are the most crucial because you got to wait for so long. And, you know, we talked about last year playing in that 12, like everything was gone so early and you're scrambling. And even on the waiver wire later, you're like, shit, there ain't nobody to pick and plug in and play. And definitely made it tough. So,
well, the one. So before I get to my next set of questions for you guys, are these two gentlemen off your draft board personally? And the first one is Mr. Las Vegas himself, Josh Jacobs. Is there any scenario in which you see yourself drafting him?
You'd have to drop quite a bit.
Like a few rounds?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's off, but it depends on what else is there.
Yeah.
Because so much is going to change between now and then, too.
So much. You know, it depends. If he reports and he's there and he's practicing, if he's not, then shows up, he may be like, fuck it, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying if the scenario is there when we show up on draft day and it's still the same what's going on right now, because football is like that Thursday, by the way. So if it's sitting exactly how it's now, is he either off your board or what round would you have to see him fall to where it's like, I'm taking him then, fuck it.
Where's he going now, like second, third?
Yep. He's a seventh rated, I do believe, or seventh after average draft position.
Yeah, I think if I'm sitting there, I have to see him hit the fourth round before I think.
Sorry, take it back. Ninth, my bad.
I have to see him hit the fourth round because I usually want pretty good production out of one, two, and three. And solid, I'm not waiting around on a guy. He's got to at least hit the fourth round before I'm like, okay, let's see here.
Yeah, I think there's a good shot that team implodes this year, and that's only going to make things worse. So, I'm with you.
Fourth round or later, that's the only way you'd take him, basically.
Yeah.
Either that or it'd have to be the draft has fallen where you have no running backs type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much, yep.
Same question, but no. But Jonathan Taylor.
Your answer.
Oh, you want mine? Yeah. He's off mine. He's off mine altogether. Yeah. He's been the one that has been steadfast about this whole situation. Mm-hmm. He's been almost the poster boy for it.
Right.
I don't like where they're going as a team. I don't like, the implosion is coming, and I don't want a player on there that I know how talented he is. I want him on a steady. If he's on a steady team, if he gets traded or something to a for a damn good run blocking team, yeah, I want him. But I'm not taking it. It's got to be in concrete that day. If it's the exact same scenario as right now, like I just put it to you guys, he's not even getting drafted. I would have to have zero running backs by the fifth round. I'm not, and that's not exaggerating. I want no part of it. And draft 100 teams, he may be on one, and that'd be like a fuck-around team. Same question for you guys, but for Jonathan Taylor. Where's he at in your thought process right now? Supposedly, reports are saying that Indianapolis believes he's going to show up this week. The Colts. That had come from his representatives that I know of.
I think he does. I think he gets in there, shows up. I'm taking him. I think he's off my... At number one, he's not there no more. I'm just not too sure. They have a couple pieces coming in. Plus, with the quarterback play, Minshew's not great. I'm not – if he's going to be sitting there for a couple games, then I figure that's what happens, right, is Minshew starts a few games and then they're like, okay, throw old boy in because we're going to be bad. Jonathan Taylor, not on my board at number one, but the talent's there. I mean, if he loops back around in the second round, I'm probably taking him.
Okay.
Talent and everything like that. The Colts.
You're not letting him fall out of the second then?
I'm not letting him. No. If it loops back around, I'm taking him in the second.
Well, you could because you're the first pick. You could make him a third round pick if he made it.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Technically, but you know who did that.
A third, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
If he comes back around, though, I will take him. I think, all the injuries. No way they happen again on that offensive line, right? That was part of the reason they were so bad last year is that every single one of their offensive line was hurt last year, missed some time, if
and,
not.
And everyone figured them out. They just needed to double Michael Pittman, and they didn't throw to anybody else, maybe a tight end.
Yeah.
That's all he did, right?
So it kind of comes down to that. I'll probably take him because then he'll probably get some volume as long as he's healthy. You know, the run blocking will be better. I'm a little scared on the fact the quarterback play, but I'm not going to ignore the – I think he wants to come out and prove, right? He's basically on a prove-it deal.
Mm.
And I was talking with Danny, like, if he doesn't show and they put him on the exempt list, they can put him as a year not served. So then he'd be right back in the same boat this year. So pretty much he has to play this out if he wants out of the situation with the Colts. Of course, they can restrict him again or put the tag on him again, right? But ultimately, he's going to have to play to get a year served in the NFL because they still have two options to tag him, right, this year and next year.
Mm.
And then if he doesn't, then they have control of him for 3 years, right? If he gets that year not served, that's 3 years you're still stuck in Indianapolis. So I think he wants to go out, ball out, and potentially get himself a big contract somewhere else or something like that. So, but yeah, second round, if he's looping around that second, third, top of the third, taking him.
I'm sure he wants to ball out. The entire situation aside, Indy's a shit show. Not much different than the Raiders, to be honest with you. I don't like the injury factor with him. Like, the fact that he's still dealing with that. You know, we talked about this last year. Like, first injury in his life when it comes to football, ever. And that's never a good sign. That shit's downhill, just like we were talking about a minute ago. Mm-hmm. I don't want a piece of Jonathan Taylor this year. I'm not interested in that, just to make that answer easy. But I don't think Minshew's a quarterback either. There's too much hype around Anthony Richardson. They're feeling so good about him, and that coach said they're going to play him early.
He looked so bad the other night, too.
Dude, you see him both. He's young, right? But the good is so high of what
they're
seeing.
Keeps the team up.
Yeah.
But he played bad against backups the other night. And it's what I said. I was like, he played shitty in Florida, and you're basically
– Were they with backup receivers, though? The reason why I say that is Indy has no receivers. They have one receiver. If you have the backup receivers and they had none, I don't know. Maybe that would play into it a little bit, but
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. He played
really bad though all year, and then you know he played bad in the preseason game. Again, they're still NFL players, right? So you could basically compare that to SEC football. I'm not sold on him yet. I mean, I'm going to see some besides just testing off the charts. I mean, look at Zach Wilson. Look at Johnny Manziel, right? I don't know.
I feel like the media wasn't paying attention back then.
Right.
There was a lot of shady shit going on.
Right, but he tested well, right? He threw the ball well to his agent and whatever. Yeah. But, right, they threw the ball well. Zach Wilson, all right?
Yeah.
Threw the ball amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So made some incredible throws, and we know they hyped the quarterbacks up and this and that. We talk about it all the time, but shitty NFL player. And I just don't know about it yet.
I think a big difference that he has, even if his passing isn't money yet, he ran a faster 40 time than Derrick Henry, but he's also about 30 pounds bigger than Derrick Henry. So he's a huge fucking quarterback that will be able to run like, you know, like Lamar, like one of the prototypical running quarterbacks that we've got. So I think he's going to make Josh Allen. That's a better example. I think he's going to make a lot more opportunities for his team than, standing in the pocket. I don't know if he'll be that great. He didn't look great in Florida. But there's a lot more potential there, and I like him for where he's going in fantasy. Let me just put it that way. I think he'll be able to do some things there. But
for me, he's not off the board. Obviously, that'd be a little silly. Like you said, he's kind of in a stalemate. He's hoping that they would either sign him to a long term, which they're not going to.
No, no way.
Or trade him, which also isn't probably going to happen. Someone had to blow the doors off, right? And nobody's doing that for running backs anymore. They're not trading. You're not going to get probably a first-round pick from that guy. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I didn't say he's not talented enough to be that. Just it's very rare to see that.
That's interesting you say that. I'll let you finish, but is there a back in the league you would give up your first-rounder for? I mean, it's easy to say if you're like 32 or whatever. Let's say you're top 20 at least.
Top 20?
Yeah. Because, if I'm KC or whatever and I'm sitting at 32, right, and I'm like, Christian McCaffrey for my first-round pick, you know, I kept all my pieces mostly.
I got two, and I do actually legitimately have two, but the rest of my team has – we're assuming that I'm like – I'm basically only the rest of my house is good, right? Like I have a decent offensive line, quarterback, all that, right? Yeah. Yep. And the two would be Nick Chubb. You already put that. Shit, Brickhouse, dude, what he squats. There's videos. Like, my God, just stupid, right? That's number one. The number two one for me would be actually your boy, Bijan. And that's, I guess I'm going more off of what I believe he can be. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Right. But the young, bright side of that, any guy that has a conversation of a top five picking him at running back in today's football, you have to look at for that. You know, that in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Those would probably be pretty close to the only two that I would feel comfortable with doing that too. Not the number one overall pick, though. Sorry.
What? So where would it stop for you? Like 10, top 10 you wouldn't trade? Or?
Five. So 1 through 4. One through four, I probably wouldn't. No, 1 through 4, I probably wouldn't. Five. Pick five would probably.
Five through. Okay.
In that, because you can still get, God, game-changing defensive ends, or defensive linemen, offensive linemen, which are huge. I'm a trench guy. Yeah. Get the foundation built.
I'm probably outside. I'm probably 11 on back. I think the top 10 players. I think it's top 10. I think there's kind of a small gap after that. You know, I think we got Parsons at 11, but we traded with and flip-flop. But
I think a special running back gets put on the back burner way too much in the NFL now. What they can do, they can turn over a game too, like no problem. Mm. You know what I'm saying? In a positive way, like nothing else working, all of a sudden this cat just –
boom.
He's different. He's not a Kenneth Gainwell. Yep. Kenneth Gainwell is a serviceable running back. Mm-hmm. He's not changing. You're not game planning for that man.
Right.
To shut him down. So that's what I mean. Like those guys I don't think get valued enough. I'm actually on the running back side a little bit with this. A little bit. You have to be special. I'm not, you know, there's a handful of special running backs.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. If you're in a situation like maybe the Cowboys is a good example, and Pollard gets hurt game one. He's done for the season.
Mm-hmm. And you're still competing?
Yeah, and you know, like, we could win the division, let alone the conference, but that's a huge position. We can't have nobody back there or somebody that's whatever, right? We need that guy. I mean, that might be a, I don't know, like top 20 pick, right, potentially, like depending on how things go.
But you want to do it. So you're saying you want to do it just on the like before the season starts?
No injuries. I think the higher the need, the higher the pick, I'd be willing to go. In general, no, like probably top 15 or something like that. Maybe like 15 is kind of the area, but yeah.
Saquon is very much on that cusp. If I could guarantee his health,
right?
Because that's prototypical size. I mean, that's size, strength, speed.
Right.
You don't take him down, he just can't stay on the field. That's the only reason why I shy away from that.
And that's why you put Chubb up there.
Yeah.
Because he's healthy, he's strong, fast, all of that, but he doesn't get dinged up. That's part of the problem. It's all of these top-end running backs have some kind of health issues, so you're taking that risk, right?
Right. Yeah, I'd like to have two. I would like to have a guy, you know, we're running him through the tackles, right? And then a guy, you know, we're trying to get to the outside. He's our speed guy. He's our screen guy. I think you're two, you're taking the load off each other. And then when you come to your play actions, I think it only makes it that much better. You know, okay, they're supposed to run with this guy. Shit, he's out.
Yep.
On a swing pass or, you know, obviously he should be able to block, you know. Or instead, you know, you take that small guy, boom, we crack one at the middle, you know, when the defense is spread out. So I prefer having two backs that you can run. That's why, you know, Zeke and Pollard, it was awesome to watch that whole thing click.
And then let me give you three of these, three teams, and then we'll go on to something else, gentlemen. I want to know if you're going to pay the premium for the quote-unquote, and I will say it like that, the quote-unquote number one back in a stable, or if you'd wait a little bit and get a little bit more of the value, thinking that they either take the job over or they get, you know, they have more of a serviceable amount of carries and yards and all that. The first one I'm going to roll with, and this is, we have to bring it up, newly signed Ezekiel Elliott with the Patriots, is behind Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson is going the very beginning part of the third. He's a 10th running back coming off, 25th overall in ADP. Where was homeboy going? I just had it. Give me one. It's like, I think it's got to be, he's going 48th. 48th running back. So 147th. Would you like to take the shot on Zeke or spend up and grab Ramondre?
48th running back?
48th running back.
You could do both, right?
We could. Well, as soon as you grab Ramondre, you're going to have somebody steal him before that. Just because there's going to be someone like that, especially in our draft. I'm talking about our draft for sure.
Yeah, right. Touche. Yeah.
You almost have to jump too high for your backup in ours.
Yeah, yes.
It way too often. It sucks.
Fuck. Yeah, I think I'm going Ramondre on that.
Still Ramondre in there?
Yeah. Yeah, being just because how the Patriots are. Yeah, I'm probably going Ramondre.
Okay. We'll go Packers next. Do you take Aaron Jones or do you go with Chris's guy, A.J. Dillon? And they're relatively close. It's, where is that? 32nd running back, 87th overall for A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones was, well, I guess it's five rounds difference. 39 overall ADP. Who would you want more in that one?
I'm probably going Aaron Jones. I mean, just his factor out of the backfield. Being able to be hitting the dump off, which I think, you know, basically a rookie quarterback back there. I always like tight ends and running backs for rookie quarterbacks that'll start. So I'd probably still go Aaron Jones on that a tad bit over, just because he does give you that reception threat, probably bigger than A.J. Dillon does.
Yeah, Aaron Jones for sure. He's the best player on that team.
On this one, I'm actually going to flip the script on you. I'm going A.J. Dillon. I think he actually could not take over the spot. I think to make sure you cushion that, you go run heavy. Pure run heavy, not the swing passes. I think you can get – if you remember watching a couple Packers games last year, I didn't watch like a bunch of them, but they'd fall in love. They'd fall in love with A.J. Dillon. Like what I mean is he going – because he couldn't be tackled. 6-7 yards, boom, boom, boom. He showed a little bit with his hands a little bit later on in the season. I actually think that he's going to burst out of a bubble. I think they would look for anything to do that because – maybe they give him the opportunity this week. We also come back to the money part. Then get rid of Aaron Jones at the end of the season. You know, I'm actually more sold on A.J., especially for the value.
Maybe. Didn't they just pay old boy, though?
Aaron Jones, like, 2 years ago.
It's good. Aaron Jones is getting a little bit old for a running back, too, right?
Yeah.
What is he, right around 28, 29?
Him and Jamal came in the same time. Actually, both Green Bay. That's right. I forgot about that. But, yeah. Another one. This one, not sure which way you guys want to go. I really don't. Detroit.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
They have Jahmyr Gibbs going the 36th overall ADP. That is the third round. What, the end of the third and 12 man? Or, where did I just have him? David Montgomery, 75th pick.
Where are you feeling? Jahmyr Gibbs all the way. David Montgomery, he was in a running offense. We saw Khalil Herbert get his chance to shine and do balled out with it. I think there's another guy in there, too, that actually played pretty well. You know, so I think David Montgomery had his shot and showed he couldn't do the best with it. You know, and even when he come back, right, just he'd get the carries and not do anything. So they kind of start giving the ball out to those other guys and who started making plays. So I'm going upside Jahmyr Gibbs all the way on this. I think David Montgomery will be fine, change of pace, you know, inside the five kind of guy, but wide open, you know, in between the 20s, man, it's Jahmyr Gibbs all the way. I think he's going to open that offense up like crazy. I think they win the division and – I think by a couple games. I think by a couple games.
The disrespect.
Tough.
Against Packers.
Packers are I don't trust Jordan Love. I would like the Vikings. I love the Vikings offense. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. Defense is really questionable. It's all gonna come down to what
you're not sold on Kirk Cousins because of the 10 years thing or the 10 whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so it's really what old boy can do with that defense. is going to come down to that.
Yeah, so with this question, I'm okay with either one. I don't really – Gibbs is going to be a stud, but I don't think Montgomery's that bad of a value where he's at either. I think he's going to get his shot, and he's going to do well too. Flip a coin, in my opinion.
They wanted both cats really bad. So that was going to be my argument. I was going to go with David Montgomery because they wanted him really bad. Obviously, they wanted him real bad. They let Jamal Williams go, mm-hmm. who would have been less money to sign than David Montgomery. So they obviously wanted him, right? Yeah. He brings a different skill set. More of the run side, but still have the pass, but still have the pass catching ability, right? And that sounds really, I know that sounds corny because old boy rushed for how many ever touchdowns, but they were, you know, inside 3-5 yards or whatever. I think David Montgomery has that spark to, that he could take a 60. You know, he can hit that 60 yarder. He's proven it multiple times, right? Jameer's going to be special. I don't know. I guess we'll see when he starts to get – you got to catch him. We'll say that. But when he starts getting smacked by some of these big boys, we'll see how long he can last. Yes, SEC, blah, 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 blah.
It's true, though.
No. Is it, though? It's still the NFL. It's almost the same conversation we had whenever they say, can the worst team in the NFL still be the best team in college football, usually out of the SEC? Yeah. No, they won't because it's still the NFL. They're grown-ass men. There's no way. Then you get the pride in there too, but I like Jameer. I think they were way too ecstatic. I think they reached really high for him, you know. And if I needed upside spark, like I have a vanilla team so far, I'd go with Jameer. I want someone that I don't know. I like always like a rookie too. If my team's already like that, already sitting pretty damn good, I'd rather take the reliable one. One I could trust more. And then I did see one more that was interesting. I don't really care about the Bears one. I was going to bring that up to you, but I really don't care. I actually care more about the Bills. What would you... Because you want the running backs and the highest producing offensive teams, right?
You think.
You would think, yes. So you can actually combo this up with two teams. We'll call them the same. You know which two?
Yeah.
Kansas City and Bills. Which running back are you trying to get?
None of them.
Not a single one?
No. I don't. I'm not interested in any of that.
James Cook. Who's the other cat that I just saw? It was... I just saw James Cook and...
The KC one? Pacheco?
No. Down there in... The Bills. Right there. Oh, sorry. Damian Harris from New England. Damian doesn't intrigue you either?
If they use the running back position more, it would. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we've talked about this the last couple of years. The running backs they had were not slouches. They had some good running backs, but it didn't matter.
Just wouldn't run them.
Yeah.
If you had to, you had no other, let's say it was a waiver wire. All the running backs are gone. You don't have a fourth one or something like that. You want four on your team, bare minimum, right? You're not feeling very comfortable after the draft with only three running backs. You had to pick up one. And I'm talking about Kansas City's or Bills.
Yeah.
Probably Pacheco, I think.
Yeah, I'd go Pacheco as well.
I think that's almost a clean sweep. The only one I would possibly think about, he kind of got hot last year, Jerick McKinnon. Very heavily involved in the passing game, too.
Yep.
He showed up, but very late in the season. That's only a small sample size.
Right.
You know, never know. I would not feel comfortable about any one of them. I'm going to stick with Kansas City. This is a different part of the discussion. No Juju left on the team. Besides Travis Kelce.
See, that's where you fuck up.
What receiver do you want on your team? Do you want any one of them? Even if it's a depth piece. I'm not talking about he has to start for you. Is there any one of those that you want to maybe draft, maybe stash, see what happens if you had to take a dart throw? You want one guy?
Yeah. I've heard great things about that Sky Moore, speed-wise, hands-wise. I guess Patrick's got an eye for him in camp, is some of the things he's been rumbling across. So if I'm throwing – because you always want a piece of those high-flying offenses, right, just on the off chance that, you know, somebody gets hurt, your guy's the next guy – whatever. Sky Moore is kind of a guy that I've been keeping my eye on, you know, potentially being my third wide receiver. I think he's got that potential. Especially, and it's not a bad thing if you're hearing from camp rumblings that Patrick Mahomes has an eye for him, you know, in camp. Right. So developing some chemistry there. So if I'm going someone, I'm probably going leaning that way.
Let me give you the names because just in case you did forget. They do have Kadarius Toney, who they did spend some draft capital to go get, as in traded draft capital to go get him. Sky Moore, like he just touched on. They still have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And he always drops like a couple touchdown passes. Deep ones always does. The one out of the ordinary, Justin Watson, which I don't care about that one. This Rashid Rice, who's the rookie. I heard some dumb shit from our local Kansas City goof that he sees Randy Moss in this cat. Yeah, stupid shit.
Talking about the greatest wide receiver of all time, Randy Moss?
Yeah, that one. This Rashid Rice, how he runs his route and breaks it off. I'm like, it was SMU. And the highlights you're showing me are against teams I don't even know what the letters are that go to the university.
Oh, you just said didn't matter.
Does it?
Does it?
When I'm talking about receivers, I'm talking about running backs. That was running backs. This is wide receivers. When you're leaping over a dude that's 5'6", playing for whatever the...
Yeah.
The all-deaf school.
So it does matter sometimes.
It does a little bit. Yeah. On this one, it does. He does show talent, though. He really does. And in fact, I think his first game, he had 3 for 60. 3 for something like that. He had 3 for 50. Yeah, they played a lot, though. Ballpark.
Some of them younger guys play a lot.
But given that, does that change yours? Kadarius at all? I don't know if you remember Kadarius being there. Go ahead.
Kadarius would be the only one that's intriguing, but he's hurt all the fucking time. I got burnt by Sky Moore last year, and I heard the same shit last year.
Oh, you did?
He's super fast. They're going to replace Tyreek with him. It's going to be perfect, blah, blah. And he did exactly nothing all year. And I kept him way too long, hoping. I'm like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And you know, I do think that comes into some of our discussion is if you've ever been burnt by a guy.
Yes.
You hold a little grudge.
All right, I'm going to give you mine, and we're going to do this right now, okay? We're going to do this. I'm actually, you know me, I have to have a rookie wide receiver. This is where I take that flyer, the dude I don't know. He is not no goddamn Randy Moss. Let's pump the brakes. But I know what Kadarius brings. I don't know what Sky Moore necessarily brings. But it isn't like it was like the little flashes wasn't that sexy either all at the same time. I'd rather take the dude that is like 6'1", 6'2". He does look like he jumps out of the gym and has some separation with his speed too, a little bit. I'm not like those other two guys, but I'd rather take the flyer on this one instead of Kadarius. I would love, but he does. He gets banged up. That's like Sterling Shepard. He does have an attitude problem. Sterling Shepard. That's what he reminds me of, except for a more attitude problem type of receiver. So, yes, we're gonna call this "Don't touch me there again."
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna call this. Name. If you have more than one, name that player you will never draft again because they let you down so badly. You had high expectations, they didn't perform well.
DeAndre Swift. It's hard because Christian got me too. Saquon got me as well. I'll probably still draft him again. DeAndre Swift, though, man, I thought he was supposed to be started balling out for like 3 or 4 games and then boom, got hurt and then just was never whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the case, like I said, I'm pretty sure. I think he had a healthy scratch or two towards the end of last year. I'm just like, what the hell, dude?
Okay.
So, I'm staying away from some DeAndre Swift for sure.
It sounds a little bitter still.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought for sure you'd have like maybe a coin flip with old Christian.
You know, I'm still probably going to draft him though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it pisses me off.
But that offense, if he's healthy, holy shit.
I'm going to go with one, it's probably Saquon. Because I probably could have won that year. But Saquon hosed me.
Yeah, so, Saquon's touched me.
Balling out. Then he went out for his 6 games or whatever he was, come back. And then he was like, no, I'm not yet. Oh, gosh. What the hell?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I burned his name from my memory. Who was the indie receiver last year? That should have been a stud. He's their best receiver. Here.
Oh, Michael.
I just said it.
Pittman.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Is probably it. Yeah. Because he was high enough draft.
I wanted him so bad.
I had to keep him in my starting lineup. I had to. But every week it was like 3 points, goose egg, dog shit. Every week. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't trade him at that point because everybody knew what it was. And right. I'm like, that's probably the worst
Wilson.
One.
Shitty taste in your mouth. You're just like,
it's like, that's gonna be such a good offense. Let's go. And then he just like, I'm like,
you're straight shits on a motherfucker.
That's why you should listen to the podcast. I told you what was gonna happen last year.
I thought you were just being a hater.
I thought he was too.
You told me because you all said the Vikings are Super Bowl bound.
That never happened.
I don't remember saying that. That didn't count. Dude, I've had so many. Some of them are makes. Some of them are now obvious that won't happen. Will never. It's Julio Jones was one burnt too many times. The boom and bust is so. He's the ultimate boom and bust. One game he'll literally carry you to the highest score in the league for the season in a week. Because he'll have 40 fucking points. Next week, he has 7.
Yeah, so, like, at the end of the year, it looks like he did great.
Yes.
But the valleys and the peaks are so different.
So bad. Yeah. Now, that, I mean, that one isn't quite fair to throw that one because he's you're definitely
burned,
not doing
I've
that.
Been burned by Julio.
Yeah. He's that guy that you just didn't want. You were hoping someone else would take. Mine was...
You got forced to draft Julio last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wasn't he, like, fucking 8th or 9th
round? It was, like,
round?
The 8th or 9th round. I'm just like... Dude, I've just gotta like I have to I
got
can't
to
not because he was on the Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
Buccaneers, and I'm just like I fucking have to.
Yep. It just leaves you. I'm gonna kinda borderline cheat and I'm gonna say any Viking player. Every time I draft them, something happens. They either get banged up, hurt. Even if they have a couple special games, I still get burnt every time. I get so excited. Finally get him. Finally get AP 1 year. Coming off. What's the dude do? Tears his shit up, or he whips. Oh, I think I had him the year he decided to start whipping his kid. That was one of them. AP, I've had Dalvin. Dalvin ended up getting hurt, tearing ACL. So it will be Dalvin is the correct answer. Like, I won't. Yeah. I'm good. You know, because every time I get him, it's. And then I don't lock up my running back either, so I don't have Alexander Mattison when that would happen. It'd be pivotal time that I need him.
So no matter where he falls to, you are not allowed to draft Justin Jefferson this year. Okay?
Attaboy.
There's no way he's getting to me. If he makes it outside the top three, dude, I'm trading multiple round picks to climb.
I haven't even seen the order yet. I know you're first. That's all I know.
I don't know who's after. I honestly don't. It was whoever was in the bottom four.
Yeah, so the bottom four, we played it out for number one pick. I would say Luke's up there and Tom Hahn.
I thought Tom Hahn made the playoffs.
Or maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't Tom
Hahn. It wasn't Tom Hahn, I don't think, this time. No, he doesn't have to rock it. Who's rocking the pink shirt?
I have to look. I will, even though technically I wasn't last.
Who was the – oh.
Yeah. I'll wear it, though. I'm a good sport.
Forgot about Shorty, who quit.
Shorty.
She got fired. Yeah. But before we wrap up, there's – we'll leave the baseball one alone. We'll stick with we'll stick with football. Been all football on this one. You obviously read it. But our man, Michael Orr. Danny, are you the one that read the brunt of this story?
Yeah.
His adoptive parents, you know it. You know the story all too well if you watch the movie The Blind Side. And that's where this kind of stems from, Danny. Tell us a little bit about it. I'm going to cheat. This is going to be our make sense if you don't think about it.
Yeah, 100%. So he actually filed a lawsuit against the Tui family. So this is ESPN reporting this. He claims he didn't receive any money from the film, while all four members of the family each received millions of dollars. So long story short, they never adopted him. They actually had him sign what was a conservatorship, and he didn't find this out until February of this year. 2023, okay? And so basically they never adopted him. They had this conservatorship where they're in charge of all his finances and things like that. And so they set up this agreement where they made $250,000 a piece and then 2.5% of the royalty money as well. And so
how much did that movie make?
Over $300 million.
Jeez.
Yeah. So let's see. So he's suing for punitive damages. It's been 20 years since he signed that after his 18th birthday. That's how long this has been. So it's fucking insane how much this family's made. We'll just say off his back. Okay.
Right. Like,
based off his story. So it says the relationship between him and the Tui family or whatever, it started to decline when he discovered that he was portrayed in the movie as unintelligent. So he was pissed off about all that. And then, yeah, in February this year, he found that out. So now there's a lawsuit ongoing. What do you think? Obviously, you know, there's two sides to this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Michael grew up in foster homes, on the street, everything like that, and he ended up making millions of dollars in the NFL. And who knows how much in college, let's be real, at that yep. point, right? And then the family takes advantage of the situation, and they make a nice chunk of change off him, too. So I can see both sides. I think it's fucked up on the family side of what they did.
I think it is. I think Rio said it perfectly, actually. Goddamn white people. Well, I mean that. I'm like, what the fuck? Who would even think to do this?
Who would think that?
You know what I'm saying? Like, who would even think to do something like that? There's no golden heart here.
No.
That's the first thing I thought of. There's no golden heart. You were doing it. You even put it off. You actually had the audacity because it was, she had a lot of say in the movie. If you know anything about that, the mom, that whatever her name is, Tui, she had a lot of say in this movie. She knows exactly how she was being portrayed, how she had him being portrayed, made it look like right. this is all. No.
Basically groomed a kid for their alma mater.
Yeah.
You know, for Ole Miss. And I'm sure they got paid by the boosters yep. under the table. I'm sure he did too, but I'm sure they did as well for, you know, here's a massive yeah. athlete, you know.
Maybe he would have never gotten to that level without them in the first place. I get that part. But you also have to rob the kid blind either. You don't have to. Why'd you have to play it dirty? He obviously wanted to be adopted by you. He thought that's what he was signing in the first place, right?
Right.
So you did some grimy shit. Like, that is, and it was for your alma mater. You didn't think he was actually probably going to go in the NFL because not everyone makes it to the NFL, right? When you see a dude that is 6'8", you know what an offensive tackle looks like, right? Like, we know what, like,
right.
you see that, and they've been around football and shit like that. They're like, yeah, we'll feed you. That's what that looks like. And you couldn't even give him his
yeah.
due. It's literally his story.
Yeah,
and you know, grimy all the way across. I think pay him for the movie or whatever, however that is, but then you go shake hands and walk away. Like, without each other, they probably not make as much money as they do.
Yeah.
He's probably most likely not in the NFL. How hard is it? Right, he got brought into out of foster care into a family that would give him anything and everything he needed. You know, I'm sure
a Christian health, private every, school every, too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Get. And education as well. So I think in terms of that, they both need each other to make it how they have, but definitely grimy. So pay him for the freaking movie, you know, rip up that contract, yeah, pay him.
Literally whatever. Give him his half.
Exactly.
Half.
And then, hey, story. You know what? Yeah. Shake hands and
be on your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fucked up thing is, like, it's not just the family got X amount and Michael got nothing. They divvied it up. So the two yeah. kids got 250, the parents got 250.
Right.
But then Michael didn't get anything.
Right. What? Not a damn thing. It also tells you, and this is where the makes sense if you want to think about it, is I don't think I think they way over portrayed how stupid you were until this happened. They over portrayed you in the movie thinking that I didn't think you were, I was like, there's no way this kid is that stupid. There's no way, right? And just in the movie, they made him look so bad.
Yeah.
I changed my tone a little bit towards that because how in the hell do you not ask this question
years ago?
20 years ago, everything has money on it.
Right. As soon as you got in the NFL, you hired an agent, you hired yeah. money, somebody do money for you.
And they figure out, like, that'd be, hold on, how come I haven't received any money about my life story?
Right.
How I grew up. How did I not get a part of that? How am I not gotten a single cent? How come it took you that long? How come what agents are you hiring? How did they not ask? Because they want some coinage, too. Any way that they can.
Well, he also was one of those, got a salary in Bitcoin, too. Part of his salary in Bitcoin.
Yeah, that was really. But there's a bunch of those that weren't really. Wide receiver for.
Odell Beckham,
yeah. Yep. He also likes chicks taking dumps on this chest. But my point is.
Yeah, what?
Makes sense if you don't think about it. Like, come on, man. Like, are we goddamn kidding? You? It took you this long to ask that damn question? Dude, I'm asking that very first day that the movie came out when I haven't played an NFL snap yet.
Yeah.
First contract, and I haven't played a snap because nothing's guaranteed after that one. Whatever guaranteed money is in that first part of the deal is the only thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I wonder, where's this at?
Right.
Yeah.
I might not have even – here's the worst part. Now it's making them look bad. Rightfully so, the Tuis, right? What could have happened had you just given him his equal split? Equal split. I'm not even saying 50%. Literally one of the five, because it's two kids and then
husband, wife, right?
Divided by five, could you have been, and then it's equal all across? Then doesn't look like you're a shady piece of shit?
Yeah.
Good God.
Who knows? It's wild that he didn't find out or figure it out until February.
Yep.
Definitely makes sense if you don't think about it. In brighter news, the chick on the airplane that's like, that dude is not real. You know that chick? She's like alive and she came out and like made a statement and stuff. Like she recorded herself. It's kind of disappointing because she was apologizing. She's like, basically she fucked up and blah, blah, blah and all that. I was hoping she'd stand in, you know, dig in.
I thought the government would leave her alone since they said the aliens are real now. Or they'd not want to admit to that reptile shit. They don't admit to all that. They just said aliens. Gotcha.
Yeah.
What's that called? It's not alien face. There's something reptile. What is it like you... Because I think that's what she was even saying, too. A shapeshifter.
Yeah.
But like a reptilian or some shit. His eyes would do like some of that Men in Black one where it blinks sideways.
Yeah.
Was she drunk? Did she say that in the video?
I didn't catch the whole thing. She just started off upset. She's like, everybody's got low points in their life. Unfortunately, mine was caught, and millions of people saw it, and blah, blah, blah.
Come on. I don't know.
Maybe she's cloned.
Ride or die with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you catch me on something like that where it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's very viral. Oh, yeah, I'm riding it to the death.
Dude, yeah. Just
imagine. Motherfucker had tentacles, bitch. Come around his ass.
Imagine the views, dude. I'm going to throw up. I'm having a YouTube channel now. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm just going to dig in. I'm going to tell some stories, okay? I'm going to make some money off this shit. I look like an idiot. Might as well make some money off of it.
Absolutely. Keep carrying on, because the second wave is going to be almost as thick as the first wave because everyone wants to see your response. It might tail off after the second one, but definitely get your second dipping in that.
Right. Yeah.
Because I don't even know if she got paid for that, right?
Right.
Someone else's video. They got paid.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and start to wrap her up, ladies and gentlemen. So those of you beautiful people that found us on the interwebs, be sure to like, subscribe, share, the whole nine yards. We really appreciate it. But Jimmer, where is the podcast available?
Anywhere and everywhere podcasts are available. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube.
Let's go, baby. And we'd love to tell a good story. If you've got one that you want us to share, go ahead and slide on in
to our DMs. Get us that story. We'll get it out to all the folks who want to hear it. We can omit names, anything like that that we need to leave out, we can. But we'll get that story out to everyone that wants to hear.
The only thing I want to say before wrapping completely is I think we're going to try and at least knock out a little bit more fantasy before season starts. Maybe some more wide receiver talk, stuff like that. And soon upcoming episodes and our season predictions.
Yeah.
So that is our tradition. Too.
Yep.
We got to also double check.
Yeah. 14 wins.
That's right, baby.
Dude, if I jump off now and they go and do something stupid, I got to ride it, right? You got to ride it at this point.
Yeah. 12 years later, the Giants win a Super Bowl. He's like, I fucking told you.
I told you.
Listen, I'm not going to believe anything you say until you draft Danny Dimes as your starting quarterback in fantasy.
Hey, let's go.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Third round.
I told you I can't do that.
Why?
I just like the Vikings. Can't draft them.
Why? Don't worry about fucking the Giants. Okay?
Yeah. That would be right.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. I would be right.
Actually, with that said, draft the Lions.
Well, they did beat the team that should have won the Super Bowl last year in the Vikings in the playoffs, so.
That's true. Remember when the Cowboys spanked the Vikings?
Shut the fuck up. Wrap it up.
Yeah, I don't know what are we talking about.
It wasn't even the game.
Who invited this guy to
that? I don't know who he's talking about.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get out of here.
That was a shapeshifter.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is 3 Geek Sports.
We out.